Wayne, it's so good to have you back. It's so good to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Steph. Great to be back. I can actually confirm Willie was definitely before me.
Okay.
She was the very first person I spoke to. I think it was December, end of December 2019, before the pre-pandemic times.
Oh, okay.
So Willie was the first one. So yeah, I'm amazed I've lasted this long.
Yeah, I almost forgot about Willie there for a second because we haven't had another interview with an artist since the beginning of the year. So I almost forgot about her, and I thought you were the longest standing, but Willie's always in there with her interview with an artist as well.
Yeah,
that's definitely what people have come to love about the Thursday Daily. Wayne, you've had plenty of time to catch up on a lot of watching and movies, TV, music, and all that sort of thing. Throughout the holiday season, and we're back into it this week. Let's get straight into it. What have we got for the first review?
Okay, well, my last time on air, I recapped my favorites of 2021, and I did foreshadow that there were some really great, potentially great movies coming out on Boxing Day, and the first one I'm going to talk about would have actually been my number one film of 2021, and that is Licorice Pizza, the new film from the absolute master, Paul Thomas Anderson. Not an understatement to say I'm a massive fan, my favourite director. This is his ninth film. It's more of an easygoing film, I guess, than you can say some of his previous ones. It's basically it's not even a romance, it's more of a friendship, courtship about two young people in the early 70s, San Fernando Valley, played by Alana Haim from the band Haim, and Cooper Hoffman, who's the son of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. Gary, Cooper Hoffman's character, is sort of a bit of a hustler. He's a child actor. He's always got his fingers in many businesses. And he has a huge crush on Alana, who's 10 years older. And she says, you're too young for me. And he just basically, all the film is just him, I guess, courting her and her putting aside lots of adventures. It's just, as any PTA film, great dialogue, fantastic music, really great characters. There's an amazing sort of scene. Bradley Cooper, probably only he's in the film for about 15 minutes, but he steals the show as well. So if you love just great films, I was trying to think about what I love about his film so much. And besides all the things I've mentioned, I think it's the way he moves the camera. He really focuses on bodies and faces. And there's lots of times when there's not much happening, but it's all happening in the faces. And just the way the fluid camera work, you just know you're in an Anderson film. And I absolutely adored this film. I went and saw it twice. Still showing at cinemas. Not as many screenings as did on Boxing Day, but you can still catch it out there. So big love for Licorice Pizza.
The number one film from Wayne of 2021.
Just in the last days.
Yeah, just got there. What's it, Wayne, do you have a favourite Paul Thomas Anderson movie?
Magnolia is my absolute.
Yeah.
I think I've seen a lot of people making lists after this film, and it seems to be mid-range. I'm not sure why people think it's too long. It's
right.
Too much of everything. I think, and a lot of people have either There Will Be Blood or Boogie Nights as his, even The Master. But my favourite still is Magnolia. I just think it's a remarkable. It's a huge trip. It's got everything. And that's been my favourite. Probably just as There Will Be Blood and Boogie Nights. That'd be my top three. And this one would probably be about fifth or sixth.
Yeah, Magnolia is a great one. I think probably some of our listeners have never seen Magnolia or heard of it. It's a bit older now, but definitely worth revisiting if you haven't seen it or if you haven't watched it in quite a while.
And a massive cast, with Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tom Cruise, and John C. Reilly. It's an epic film.
Yeah, okay. Well, Licorice Pizza, and that's still showing at cinemas.
Yeah, definitely Dendy and a few other ones, but not as many screenings as it did when it opened 3 weeks ago.
Cool. All right. Well, you have to get out there and find it before it closes. Wayne, what is next? What's number two for our 4x2 today?
Number two is another film that opened on Boxing Day, and this has basically disappeared, but I want to talk about it because it is wonderful, and I reckon it would have made my top 10 for last year. It's The Worst Person in the World, a Norwegian film, the new film from Joachim Trier. I've seen it described as the Norwegian Frances Ha, and I think that's quite a good description. It's basically about a woman called Julie who's approaching her 30th birthday in Oslo. She's really just not sure about her life, changing careers, changing boyfriends, just trying to figure anything out, trying to figure out her relationship with her parents. And it's just done in such an effervescent, humane way. It's so vastly entertaining. Renata Rainsway, the actress who plays Julie, she actually won Best Actress at Cannes last year, and it's a really great performance. So, yeah, it's not at many screens. I think the only place now in Sydney it's showing is at the Golden Age. But if you just want to see a really beautifully portrayed film about figuring yourself out, I guess, that's funny but also meaningful, really recommend this film, The Worst Person in the World.
Okay, and that may be at Golden Age Cinema still? And
I checked yesterday and it was showing Dendy when it opened. That's where I saw it. But I think Golden Age has some screenings now.
Great. Sounds fantastic. All right, Wayne, what's number three on the list for this week?
Okay, well, I think I'll dive into a little bit of TV. These are a couple of shows that came out, I guess, late last year. I didn't have a chance to talk about them. I think they're very, very well watched, but I think they're worth talking about. First off is Succession. I think I'd put this in my top five of shows for last year. I think it's set at about five, actually.
Mm.
And I think a lot of people have seen this, but if you haven't...
Yeah, I've seen it. I've been watching it. Yeah, I think we talked about it last time I jumped on, but yeah.
I think we did, yeah, because I think I said I was halfway through the third season and I finished it, and it absolutely nailed it. That last episode was so good.
Mm.
So this is season three. If you're not familiar with it, it's basically the story of a multimedia conglomerate, the family, the Roy family, headed by Logan, who played by Brian Cox, who is actually an awful person. And it's about the succession, I guess, with his children and then trying to play off him and him trying to keep control. There's a lot of power dynamics, especially with his son, Logan, who sort of goes off the rails in season two, and he's trying to upend the company in season three. And this is just sort of dazzling TV, highly acclaimed and rightfully so, just really amazing dialogue, great characters. They're all pretty awful, but they're so compelling. So if you haven't got around to watching Succession and you want to see some really great dramatic TV, highly recommend it. It's HBO show, so it's all available on Binge or Foxtel.
Mm. Yeah, I've been watching it. A couple of things to note. Is it Sarah Snook, the name of the Australian actress who plays Siobhan Roy?
Yeah, she plays Siobhan or Shiv, one of the daughters. Yeah, Sarah is a great Australian actress,
And then also, I think, as you were mentioning about the camera work with Paul Thomas Anderson, the camera work here in Succession is something completely different as well, something new.
It's truly great. And also the score, which is great also. I should have mentioned the Licorice Pizza. Johnny Greenwood does a great score alongside the music. And I think it's Nicholas Britell, I think, does a really great score as well. So, yeah, for a TV show, it has, that's the thing now with TV. You're getting actually film-like quality for the camera work.
Absolutely.
And the score. It's not like the old days of a sitcom filmed in front of a studio audience. This is like high-caliber, great actors working on TV.
Mm, yeah, and I think the sort of pretense of the whole thing is unique for a TV show, and something really engaging, the wealth and the power of these people is something that you don't see too much portrayed in TV. But I've just got a love-hate relationship with Succession. Like, my partner and I watched three seasons of it together, and it's addictive and it's captivating because it's so well done, and the storyline everything is so consequential that happens in the show, but at the same time, it's so hard to pick a side with someone that you're on. I heard that potentially the next season might be the last, and I almost breathed a bit of a sigh of relief, to be honest, after hearing that. Because
I don't think like any show you should have to like the characters, but you actually need to be entertained by them, at the very least, and they're incredibly entertaining. But I think it's one of those ones. There's some shows that are a bit dour, so even though these are really unlikable characters, it's hugely entertaining. So I revel in their badness.
It's easy to do. And the other noteworthy thing, I didn't realise that Macaulay Culkin's brother was such a great actor until I watched Succession.
Yes. I think he actually probably has the best lines in all the show. He's probably the worst character, but he's probably the most straightforward, because the others sort of, they wax and wane about whether they like fishy Logan, but with Kendall, he's pretty much 100% bad, but he also has a lot of issues. So it's a complex character, and I think he's hard to like, but you sort of appreciate that he's not two-faced.
That's true.
He tells whatever is on his mind, he says.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Wayne, let's move on for Succession, because I could probably talk about it all day.
Yes.
But what is number four? What's the last one this week in your 4x2?
I'll finish up with another show, aptly named, and that's season two of The Great. This came out on Stan towards the end of last year. And if you've seen season one, or you haven't seen any of the first two seasons, I highly recommend this show. It's just a hell of a lot of fun. It's a satirical comedy / drama, very, very loosely based on the life of Catherine the Great in 18th century Russia. Elle Fanning is wonderful as Catherine, and Nicholas Holt is absolutely fantastic as Peter. So the basis of the story is she marries into Peter, who's very awful, but she has ambitions to make Russia more modern. And at the end of season one, she basically forms a coup to get rid of Peter. So season two is basically her trying to run Russia with all the nobles, and Peter still, I guess, snapping her to heels. So it's really devilishly funny, deliciously to look at. The scenes, the settings are great. And, it's on Stan. So two seasons, 10 episodes in each season, and just a lot of fun.
Sounds great. It sounds great. The Great.
Pardon it is the pun, great. The Great is great.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a fun one. I'm just having a look now. There's just so much TV out there to catch up on.
Yeah.
I think
they've renewed it for season three, so
if
you do like it, there's more to come.
That's great. I think we've talked about this one before, but I just watched the first episode of Afterlife the other night, Wayne. So that might be something we can talk about in the future.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of that. I saw it dropped on Netflix, but we're at the moment still working through a lot of our 2021 shows.
Yeah.
trying to keep them in a rough chronology rather than jump around in time. But I guess Afterlife is only six episodes, so it's easy to digest.
Yeah, easy to get through. All right, Wayne, that's fantastic. Some great ones there. I'm definitely checking out Licorice Pizza as soon as I can.
Yeah,
do
that.
That's it. Thank you so much for joining us once again, Wayne. Look forward to talking to you again.
Yep, see you, Steph. Bye.